Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
I want to say to everybody who's watching, I know probably what you want to hear me speak more about, but you will not hear me speak about it right now because we have designated a place and a time to discuss that, and that is Red Table Talk, and you'll hear it next week. And just know, my silence is not because I don't have anything to say. My silence comes out of respect. Of the 90s, to me, Friday is probably the most legendary film that I can recall. How did you get that role?
I auditioned for it. This movie I found out about when I was in the Comedy Cup. Mm-hmm. I was in the Comedy Cup one night. They said Paul Mooney and Ice Cube doing a movie about smoking weed sitting on the porch. Mm. I said, oh, man, maybe it'd be a part in that for me. So
okay.
I called my agent the next day. I said, could you get me in this audition about this movie, Paul Mooney and Ice Cube doing a movie about smoking weed
Paul
on the
Mooney
porch?
Paul Mooney was a part of
that? That's what they said in the club. It, okay. That probably, by the time it got to the club level, it was right. Probably they probably changed the story. But then they got me in the audition, and then they called me back and said, you got the part. So, yeah, that's how it happened.
So after that first Friday, what made you not come back? I'm a diverse individual.
All of this shit is real. Everybody's like, what is it? Is he a family man? Is he a trapper? Is he a ladies man? Well, I'm all of it. All of it.
I beat your ass, kiss your girl, and go tuck my kids in. And then I show up and lead a march on the weekend.
It's all real. Real.
This is Expeditiously. I am Tip T.I. Harris. Now, the following experience is not a test. The conversations and stories expressed on this podcast are meant to be an expression of purpose and truth. This show, properly entitled Expeditiously, is a free exchange of ideas and opinions. No judgment, no preconceived beliefs, no fear. You're encouraged to share your thoughts and ask any question as long as it's done with respect. And that's through true love and respect for others that we will change the world and speak truth to power, one show at a time. Now, without further ado, this is Expeditiously. I'm Tip T.I. Harris. Okay, welcome to the latest episode of Expeditiously. My guest today kind of requires absolutely no introduction, but I'll take a stab at it. He is a very, very a personal partner of mine. I'm proud to say that. Not only an Atlanta legend, but a true legend of comedy and of culture, an icon of a few generations, and a legend in our community. His body of work speaks for itself. Okay, so enough for an intro, man. I'm just going to, because if I read his credit, we'll be here all day. So we are just going to introduce the incomparable Chris Tucker. What's happening, brother?
Appreciate it, man. Let me borrow that watch.
Yeah, man, you can have it.
Keep looking. Come on, man. Oh, I didn't know you was Arab.
Yeah, man.
You know you're going to ask for it back.
Look man. Better. I have to.
Oh, I like that.
Hey, man.
Ooh.
I know you wouldn't wear it anyway.
I got scared when I was holding it.
You wouldn't wear it no way,
that's
man.
That's beautiful, man.
Thank you, man.
Just, appreciate it, man. Appreciate you.
It's an ornament. You know, sometimes, as you know in business now, you got to buy stuff that's worth something, so when you negotiate with people, they know you ain't hurting for no money.
I like what you said, that like a Christmas ornament.
It's an ornament, it's an ornament. Man. You know what I'm saying?
You know you're rich when you start calling stuff ornament.
When the holidays pass, you put it back in the box and it goes back in the closet.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I like it.
Man, I appreciate you for joining us here today,
bro. Appreciate you, man. Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
A lot of people don't know, but we've been closely connected for quite some time, man.
Yeah, man. I've always been proud of you, man, and of course a big fan. You from Atlanta. I'm from Atlanta, Decatur.
Right.
So it's a big connection. Big
absolutely. Connection. And you've always been the same guy. You know what
Thank
I mean?
You, man.
And as big of a star as you are, You know, you really don't have to be as personable, as humble, and as courteous as you are to people.
Oh, thank you, man. You know, it's a learning process. You know, I am who I am. But, you know, over the years, you learn, man, that people are the most valuable things on earth. Thing on earth, I would say. So you always want to try to be your best, you know, and cultivate good relationships, mm-hmm. friendships, and, you know, of course, your family.
Sure.
So, yeah, man, I try to live by that.
Relationships are definitely currency.
Definitely.
You know
definitely.
What I mean? So, you know, anybody who burn bridges, you best not plan on crossing none no time.
That's
so.
Right, man. I don't know. I used to see that early in the comedy career, man. People would get a shot, big break, and then they start cussing other people out. And,
right.
I would see that as a young comedian. Like, why is he doing that, man? He don't right. know. You know, you don't know if that movie gonna work, man. You better be smart and just don't even do that at all, you know. So I just thought that was crazy, you know.
Now, speaking of movies, man, you are an incredible comedian. I can still remember sneaking to watch Def Comedy Jam as a youngster, man, watching you tear the stage up every time you came on. But you are also a phenomenal actor and have had some of the most prolific characters of our time. What was it that challenged you or piqued your interest just to reveal your greatness to the world the way you have?
Well, man, we grew up in a special time, man. We grew up watching the best, man. Watching, you know, great movies like, you know, Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Sylvester Stallone, Rambo. I grew up going to the movies, been watching great movies. And right. so I always wanted to, you know, I knew the way to get into the movie business, it's going through, becoming a comedian.
Right.
And then watching, you know, great comedians, like I said, with Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, and the way they parlay stand-up comedy into movies, mm-hmm. I thought I could do that. But I just, you know, stayed in the clubs, man. And, right. then all the great comedians that was around, too, man, we influenced each other, uh-huh. you know, in my generation, man. And that hard work in the comedy clubs every night, I was ready when I had the opportunity to do a movie, do Fridays or whatever. You know, I was ready because all those years in the club and touring and stuff like that.
So film was always the end goal.
Oh, yeah, because I saw it. You know, okay. every time Eddie Murphy stepped out on the scene, you know, I was going to the movies with my family, man, and I would see Eddie in a scene or Richard Pryor in Stir Crazy.
Right.
I said, man, I was just fascinated with it. I didn't know at that time that's what I wanted to do. But I knew when I found out stand-up comedy was something that I was good at, I can go and I could do that too, you know, the movie stuff.
Man, that's now what told you could do stand up? Were you a class clown or repeated class clown like I was?
Yeah, man, I was a class clown, but I didn't know I was funny. People would say I was funny, and
right.
they would start laughing. I'd be like, "What you laughing at, man? You crazy? I mean, what you talking about?" And then you know, you didn't dress out of PE time, yeah. and then I become the preacher in the gym, you know, on the stand on the bleachers. I become the preacher, like, start preaching to him. You didn't dress out because you're just terrible. You're sick. And this and that. And I had a whole, you know, bleacher just rolling, but I was just bored.
Right.
So I would come up with something and we have fun doing that. Then they would laugh. And then I started hosting. I hosted talent shows in high school.
Okay.
Told my first joke, got a big laugh. And I said, oh, I could do this.
You got hooked.
I got hooked because I was telling jokes in class, but that really wasn't the art form. But when I got on stage, I had to think of stuff to talk about around the school to relate to the school and the
right.
students. And that's when I knew. I said, okay, I can do this. This is fun.
So your ability to relate to people is really where you found your craft.
Yeah. I think seeing what is funny. Knowing what's funny.
Right.
Like I love to laugh too. Like if I see something funny, I'm busting out laughing. So knowing what's funny and then just doing it, man.
Hey, check it. If you still use one of the big wireless providers in 2019, have you ever asked yourself what you're paying for? I mean, between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, you getting finessed, player. We all know everybody needs a cell phone. They know you need a cell phone, but they ain't got to overcharge you. But they will because they know you'll pay. So what you could do is enter Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. You see, Mint Mobile saves on retail locations, save on overhead, and then they pass those savings directly down to you. Now check this out. I got two Mint Mobile phones that I use to help me and my team coordinate all our activities, all right? And I'm going to tell you, it's no different than using any other phone. You know what I'm saying? We got great fast coverage and all the same features you used to. From talking to texting to jumping online to snap pictures on IG, all that stuff. Hey man, everything works the same. As far as coverage is concerned, they use the same cell towers as T-Mobile. And switching up is simple. Just go online to sign up. You know what I mean? Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. You dig what I'm saying? Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. And with Mint Mobile, you can stop paying for unlimited data that you'll never use. Choose between plans with 3, 8, or 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan. Keep your same phone number along with your existing contacts. You can ditch your old wireless bill, man. You can start saving you some money with Mint Mobile. Now, to get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, sheesh, and get the plan shipped to your door for free, all you got to do is go to mintmobile.com/TIP. That's right, mintmobile.com/TIP. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TIP. You dig? I think that in today's society, right, comedy has changed so much because everybody has to be so careful.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's so critical. Mm-hmm. How do you right now, because you still doing comedy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You still doing, you about to go on tour.
Yeah.
You say
yeah.
you're going to be in Indianapolis this Saturday.
Indianapolis this Saturday. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What can they see you at in Indianapolis?
I'm going to be, you know, I don't know the theater, but I'm out there in Indianapolis. So if
man,
you want to find out, go to my website, ChrisTucker.com. You'll see the theater on there and where I'm going to be at. Yeah.
Okay. Bet, man. And I think, but how do you make jokes today that still don't offend anybody?
Well, you know, I made a conscious decision years ago, man, as a young comedian. I just wanted to be funny. I didn't want to be too raunchy. I didn't want to be raunchy at all. And at one point, I said, I want to see if I just want to be funny. I don't want to have the cussing be a scapegoat
right.
or be a crutch.
Right.
So, it's just me. It's just everything I do, I try to do it the best I can. But like I said, you go to my show, you might hear some cussing
oh, yeah.
words, because cursing to me, it is an emotion. But since I made that decision years ago, it helped me because my show is not relying on cussing. It's not
right.
relying on a raunchy joke. And I see a lot of young comedians go straight to like raunchy stuff.
Right.
And I'm older now, so I do take that in consideration. But I say, well, you know, they didn't have to do that. Maybe if they had a stronger joke, they could have just made it funny instead
right.
of, but they're going to the easy stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's easier to cuss throughout your whole show and to be real raunchy throughout your whole show. And I always knew that at a young comedian. So
mm-hmm.
I said, I got to get, you know, funnier stories or more interesting stories as a young comedian. So now I don't have that problem, you know, insulting anybody. Because I did that years ago. I said, no, I just want to be straight funny. When you come to my show,
right.
it's going to be about me. It's going to be about what I'm experiencing. It's going to be straight funny. And if a cussing word come out of here and there, you ain't going to even notice it because
right.
my story stuff going to be so strong that you're going to be like, oh, okay. I know why he said that because
right.
he was upset about that. and we're going to move on. So it don't affect me. And I think the comedians who do go really, really raunchy and all that stuff, if you're a good comedian, you got to switch it up and deliver, do it another type of way. Because sometimes you got to do clean shows,
right?
Corporate shows. So it shouldn't matter as a comedian. You go to a club, you can be as loose as you want. Sometimes you do corporate stuff, you can't be that loose. You got to be smart and be clever and creative and get that show done the way they want to get it done or whatever.
Yeah, now listen, now we here expeditiously, we are bound by obligation to attack the conversations and have the discussions that we feel can push the culture and the generation forward. And you just mentioned that you made a conscious decision early in your career as a young comedian to go away from profanities and to commit yourself to clean comedy, right?
Yeah.
What was it that you went through in your life? What defining moment kind of presented itself to you to make you make that decision?
Well, that's the only way you can get better, if you give yourself challenges.
Right.
And, you know, success came real fast. I did Fridays, then I did Def Jam. That more was money. You know that got me more
money talks.
So I was on the road touring. Everything came really fast, and I didn't want to get in a. You know, it was just me. I knew in my spirit. I said, okay, if you want to get good, you're gonna have to. Don't have no crutches. Just go straight. Take care of some. You know, get some stuff out of the way, and just go straight funny. So. That was one of the things. Just always wanted to evolve, and
that's right.
And I think by me making that decision years ago, that's how I evolve. You know, yeah, man, just wanted to be better as a person and spiritual.
Yeah.
Spiritual. I was raised in church. I was raised. People think, hey, man, I heard you just got saved. No, man, my mama made me go to church since I was 5 years old, and I'm glad she did because that made me who I am today, man. Because Those choices I knew I could make because I had that spirituality always in me. Even
sure.
when I was doing Def Jam and when I did Fridays and when I did all that, it was part of me. It was who I was. So I just evolved into who I was, who I am right now. So those things, I thank my moms for that, for raising me in church and all that, and you know, having those morals, those spiritual. Things, those decisions that, you know, it's good to make, man. It's good to make because it helps you.
Right. I mean, you know. I think that you were one of the, I guess, like first people of the generation, at least my generation, to present themselves as the young legend of today. When you got on stage at Def Comedy Jam and said, I'm pissed off, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like from that point, I was talking to Donnell Rollins about that. And from that point forward, we knew you were going to be a star.
Oh, thank you.
And to make a conscious decision to enhance the presentation of your spirituality without sacrificing who you are. Most people, especially young people right now, feel like if they show or enhance or let people see, if they do anything to change other people's perception of themselves and not be the toughest guy in the room, not be the loudest guy in the room, not, you know, say the most curse words in the room, they think that's a sacrifice of themselves. Yeah. How did you view it differently?
Well, you got to be bold, man, and you got to. I was at the point that, you know, you can't care. I never cared about. I'm not trying to impress nobody. I'm trying to impress God.
That's right.
I always been like that. I'm like, oh well, if you don't think I'm funny, then that's okay. If you don't like me, I really don't care because it's like, you know, you didn't make me. You can't break me.
Nobody never not like Chris Tucker, though, man.
Yeah,
I've never heard that.
And that's just God's favor, you know. And I'm always been like, I'm trying to. I got to a point like I'm just that. Bold, like I'm trying to impress God. Everybody else, I really don't. Secondary, don't care. So that's why I made that decision, and it bettered me. It's like an investment,
right?
That you make. You gotta make it early,
then
when you get to a certain age, then you're gonna reap the benefit. You're like, oh, okay. People thought I was crazy then,
right?
But now, and they probably still think you crazy. But now it's like, oh. I'm a whole nother person.
Yeah.
And I've learned so much from making those decisions. It's decisions in my life that I made that I know that like it changed my life. When I moved to LA in 92, and nobody knew what I was going to do. They was like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Like, I'm going to do stand up. I'm moving to LA. Mm. Oh, okay. All right. That was a turning point.
Okay.
And the other one was when I decided to say, you know what, I'm not going to cuss as much as all the other comedians. I'm going to be different.
So the idea was not to curse as much.
I didn't ever say I wasn't going to cuss, but you know, people want to say, oh, you don't cuss no more. And I said, well, that's what you want to think. Go ahead and run with it. I don't care. You know, I don't care what's the consequence. I don't care. This is what I want to do.
Right.
And any day I know what I'm doing, I'm not going to cuss as much. And then it got to a point, I said, I don't need to cuss because I'm funny without it.
Yeah.
Because when when you're naturally, you just do it. So. And if it comes out, it's just because it naturally came out, not because it was a crutch that I'm using every two words because of that, because I don't have no jokes or whatever. I don't have nothing to say. So that was a decision that I made that now I see that it paid off. It was those bold decisions that nobody do.
Right.
And I said, oh man, that made me become a man because a lot of people, everybody ain't gonna agree with that.
Sacrifice.
Like when Richard Pryor said, I'm not gonna say the N-word no more.
Right.
Everybody was like, wait a minute, man, we want you to be Richard, man. You why you not gonna say the N-word no more?
Right.
Richard went to Africa, he came back, he felt something. It was between him and God and his feeling, and that people loved him. They love him now more because he made that decision. Because they realized he had he had some feelings. He had a heart, you know, right. Even though all conviction. The things he said. Yeah, he had conviction, and it takes people a while to understand that.
Hey, listen, man, life can be stressful. Between work, family, and everything going on, man, it's hard to find time for yourself. And with all that stress, sometimes you need someone to talk to. Now, that's where Talkspace comes in. Talkspace online therapy makes taking care of your mental health more affordable and convenient than ever before. With Talkspace, you don't have to sit down face-to-face with somebody to tell them what you got going on or what you're going through if you don't want to. You know what I'm saying? You can send your therapist unlimited text, audio, pictures, and video messages from anywhere at any time. Look, I know I'm busy, and I know everybody out there trying to get there going like I am, so that makes y'all busy too. But it doesn't mean you can't find time to get a therapist to help you talk through some of your tough situations. And Talkspace is affordable. 1 month of therapy on the Talkspace platform costs about the same amount as a single face-to-face session. Best of all, you'll never have to wait a week to share what's on your mind, you know what I'm saying? Talkspace has more than 5,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing the challenges we all face, okay? To match with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of the traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the code TIP to get $65 off of your first month and show your support for the show. That's TIP and Talkspace.com. Expeditiously. You know, I've gone through my own little share of, you know, of criticism as of late, you know, and it has brought me to two philosophies that I really lean on. One is you can't give people with the least amount of information the most consideration.
Yeah.
I can't consider people and their opinion of me who have the least amount of information about me.
Yeah.
You know, we got to focus on, like you say, you focused on God, who knows everything.
Yeah.
All right. God and the people who actually know us, who can attest for our personalities and our character and our integrity. Those are the people. And the second philosophy, I've said this many times, I'll say it again. If you live for the cheers, you will die by the booze.
That's right. That's right, man. That's the truth. Because I'm going by track record now. Because nothing I've done, I planned out. I just had a dream to move to L.A., you know, and to be a comedian. Def Jam had happened. God opened that door.
Right.
I was in a competition that I didn't even win. The producer came back and said, we want you on Def Jam because I didn't have enough time. But he said, you got enough time for Def Jam. That's God. I look back when I got Fridays. They wanted a new, fresh comedian. They didn't want anybody established already. It was other established comedians.
Right.
God was opening up doors, so you got to look at these are proven things.
So that's
things.
How you got
this
on Def Jam.
Yeah.
You got on Def Jam by losing a competition.
Oh, yeah, I never won a competition in my life. Never. That's why I tell people, like, man, don't worry about it, man. If you didn't win, that means something
going
to happen
for you.
What
God got for you, can't nobody
exactly.
take
it
from
so
you.
Exactly. So it's not no dreaming thing going on. These track records, I could go through it and that show you this, it was a blessing. It wasn't me.
And you just mentioned Friday, which is probably the most legendary film of my time, of the 90s. Of the 90s, to me, Friday is probably the most legendary film that I can recall. How did you get that role?
I auditioned for it. I was auditioning for everything because I was like, because I was doing a stand-up. I was touring for about 3-4 years. I was touring, and I was like, man, I got to get a movie or something because we were going to the same cities. I said, I got to go to the next level. It's like you feel it. You just feel it. And then I was auditioning for TV shows. This movie I found out about when I was in the Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. I was in the Comedy Club one night. They said Paul Mooney and Ice Cube doing a movie about smoking weed sitting on the porch.
Mm.
I said, oh, man, maybe it'd be a part enough for me. So
okay.
I called my agent the next day. I said, could you get me in this audition about this movie, Paul Mooney and Ice Cube doing a movie about smoking weed
Paul
on the
Mooney
porch?
Paul Mooney was a part of that?
That's what they said in the club.
Okay.
By the time it got to the club level, they probably changed the story. But then they got me in the audition, and I auditioned twice. And then they called me back and said, you got the part. I was just ready. I was just ready. But I was auditioning for this TV show that D.O. Hughley got. But I wanted the movie anyway because I always wanted, you know, with the Eddie Murphy movie and Richard Pryor, all that stuff.
Right.
So I wanted that type of career. So, yeah, that's how it happened.
So after that first Friday, what made you not come back? What was that?
That's a good question right there. You know, it was I wanted to do something different. I never thought about doing sequels. I never wanted to do sequels.
Until international commerce came.
You know what? And you know what? Sometimes I think about that when I'm like, well, that might have been a good movie.
That was absolutely good. I just saw it the other day, man. It's just as fun as it was the first time I saw it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah, but at that point, I never thought about doing sequels. I just thought about doing a good move, good job at what I was doing, and keep going to the next thing.
Right.
And so when they came to me about the second Friday, I was like, nah, man, I think we done that. How am I going to do that? That's over. I don't know what we're going to do with that again. So then
you
I got money to talk.
You still feel like that?
You know what? It depends on which vehicle. But I still...
Because it's that. One more Friday.
Oh, that's it.
Last Friday. And now we've all mourned the loss of John Witherspoon,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Legend, man.
Smokey would have to come back.
Yeah.
But it don't matter what I say.
Tucker said. I never say never to anything because
okay.
You know, like I said, I don't know what may happen. But it ain't up to me, and it's up to studio. It's a whole thing, you know. It is up to me. It is. I take that back. It is up to me because we get a script, and if it don't make sense,
right.
And if I think it's not something good for me or my career, and then I'll probably pass. But if it's something that I say, oh man, we can have fun with this,
right.
And I know that this will be good for the fans, because I'm always thinking about the fans, and I think about myself and career where I want to go. If it works, you know, if it makes sense, you know, it's a possibility, but. It ain't up to me. It's a whole. It's. I don't own Fridays. Studio own Fridays.
Yeah.
So it's really up to them, and it's really up to. And then of course Ice Cube, because he's a big part of that. But who knows?
Ice Cube actually was my first guest. Cube and LL Cool J.
Oh, it was? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cube, you heard it. If you didn't know, it's not a definite hell no. You know what I'm saying? It is a possibility. If all things go according to the universe.
But I'm gonna tell you this, I'm looking forward to showing my fans my new stuff that I'm getting ready to do.
Well, what are you about to do now?
Well, I can't tell you everything, but I can tell you I'm on tour right now.
Okay.
So you'll get a glimpse of where I'm at and
where
I'm getting ready to do. But in the movies, television and producing and starring and stuff, that's about to go to I'm excited about that.
Now, I did get your tour dates, and in Indianapolis this Saturday, you'll be at the Murat Theater.
Yes.
Murat, M-U-R-A-T Theater, on November 23rd in Indianapolis, and on the 29th in St. Petersburg, Florida, at the Mahaffey Theater.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. I love Petersburg. Y'all come out of Petersburg down there. So, yeah, I'm touring. I'm getting ready to do another stand-up.
Special?
Special, yeah.
The last one you did was in, man, that shit was hilarious.
Thank you, man.
That
Thank
was hilarious.
You.
And I came to see you in Vegas.
Oh,
that
you sure
one time.
Did. You came to see me in Africa, man.
And in Africa.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I'm in Africa. I ain't seen no American in like 3 weeks. Hiccup Tip coming in with his A-Town hat turned sideways. I said, all right, my man. What's up, man? He had a tiger on his arm. I said, what's going on, man? Where'd you get that tiger from? Why you buy a tiger out here? I've been looking for one.
Hey, man. Hey, I think you had probably one of the most, I guess, unbelievable. They call it a comeback just because you chose to stay out of the public eye so much.
Yeah.
I guess, you know what I'm saying, Rush Hour 1 and 2 will do that for you.
Yeah.
And what was it that made you say, man, you know what, man, damn the public eye, damn what they saying out there. I'm just going to stay home and work on me.
Well, I never said, you know, damn the public, because I always respect my fans. Of course, I know what you mean, but, you
well,
know.
Well, no, I mean, because it could be a very, very, like, when I say the public eye, I'm not talking about mm-hmm. the fans. It's mostly the people who exercise their right to have their opinion who aren't really fans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it becomes a bit intrusive.
Yeah. Well, you always know. I always go with my own instincts. Oh, you always know when you need to go. You need to go away and grow. You know, travel, man. I never went anywhere. I traveled the world. You know, several times over. You know, have friends all over the world now, and man, just enjoyed life to the fullest, and learned. And developed, you know, and I think that's what you got to do, man, is to stay relevant and to stay on the next level, man. You got to do that.
Hey, listen, let me ask you a question. Have you gone online to expeditiously.com and ordered your Expeditiously merch, which is available right now? Well, if you haven't, I urge you to do so because you're doing a terrible disservice to yourself. Now, as an entrepreneur, I can tell you that it's very important that the products get to the customers as quickly or expeditiously as possible. If that's important to you, like it's important to me and my business, you can get a hassle-free shipping experience when you use Stamps.com. It's one of the most popular time-saving tools for small businesses like ours. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Office right to your computer. So whether you're a small office sending invoices, an online seller like myself shipping out t-shirts, hoodies, etc., or even a big business sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all. Now, right now, expeditiously listeners get a special offer just because I said so. That includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in T.I. That's stamps.com. Enter T.I. Hey, where you think you going? The show ain't over yet, man. Expeditiously continue. I know you're not ready for this from the end yet, so expeditiously shall continue. Last year, you said that you were praying for number 45, President Trump. So you were praying for him and hoping that he's a good president.
Oh, I did say I was praying.
Yeah.
I did, man. I pray for everybody. I hope he, do what's right and do. But that's all you can do is pray sometimes.
Exactly.
I did say that.
Yeah, I sure did. I mean, how you think he, what you think?
With Trump? Man, you know what? I talk about him in my show, but I hope, I never give up hope, man. I never give up hope. But now, it's one more year, the elections, it's going to be up to all of us.
It's going to be up to all of us.
See what happens.
And there have been so many rumors about a Rush Hour 4. Everybody who sees you in a movie wants you to come back as that character.
Yeah, Rush Hour.
So there's been secrets or rumors of a Rush Hour 4.
Yeah.
Is that in any way true or any truth to that?
Well, you know what? I, every time, they bring up the Rush Hours and the Fridays, I said, man, wait till they see this new stuff I'm getting ready to do. Wait till these new characters that I'm going to create that they're going to be like, I want a sequel of that one, too.
Right.
Because that's where, that's where I get to the point like, all right, now is the time to make those decisions. Are you going to go backwards or are you going to go forward? And those are decisions people got to make in life. They're working on a script, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I know we said that, it was happening, but, like I said, that's owned by Warner Brothers also, so it's up to them to want to do it. But I know what I can't control, what's going forward.
That's right.
And what I'm developing and producing, and this is going to be...
We always going to be looking forward to that,
stuff.
Too.
Yeah.
As I said before, we have conversations that we feel like could push the generation and the culture forward. And you are a very frugal. You call yourself cheap. I say, but you're a very frugal celebrity.
Yeah.
Like, how was it to come into a bunch of money and then, figure out, in order to maintain and sustain wealth, I have to kind of pull back and have to reassume that level of wealth again? How is that? What is that process like?
Man, you gotta learn as you go. You gotta really get somebody to handle your money, because
hard to trust people, Chris.
Yeah, it is. Just sign your own check.
People steal, man.
Oprah told us that.
People steal.
You know what? But That's true. And that I understand that. But you gotta get you. I don't care if you search high and low. Make sure you sign your own checks. But get a team to handle your money if you get a lot of money, man. And they can't get it. And, of course, if they invest it, you got to get a piece of paper. That's your stocks or whatever it is. But learn it, man, right away, because you give away $10 million. So you can give away $100 million. You can give away $1 billion. That's how fast you can be back broke or with nothing. So you got to invest it. Can't leave it in the bank. The bank only insure $100,000.
That's right.
So you got to learn. Get with somebody who's been there, who got money. That's the best idea.
I tell people all the time, man, if I have $10 million in the bank, I'm keeping $500,000 or maybe $500,000 over 5 banks, of course. Man. And I'm putting the rest in property and commodities that I know will accrue, the level of interest that is greater than than I will get in putting it in a bank. Because if you leave it in the bank, all they going to do is invest your money
that's
for
right.
you.
They making money off the bank. Yeah, they making money off you some kind of way.
Yeah. I think that's a great tool. See, that's that piece of advice that people need to hear.
Yeah.
Especially young kids. Because young kids, you might be broke right now, but we never plan on making money.
That's right.
When we be in our position, we plan on that. We'll make plans to die. You know what I'm saying? We'll say, man, I might not make it to see 21. I might, but what if you do?
Yeah, that's right.
And what if all your dreams come true and you ain't planned for that to be in that position?
Yeah.
Then it's gonna escape you.
That's right.
Dana's right here. You look very stylish in your nice tweed jacket.
You like this? I thought you would like this
a nice
coat.
Gray tweed jacket. What brand is
You're
this?
You're into coats. It's a Calvin Klein.
Oh, it's a Calvin Klein. Yeah. That's it. That sounds expensive.
A little bit.
You know, you splurge on yourself from time to time.
Sometimes.
Single Dana, independent woman getting that money.
I'm trying to get it.
You dig what I'm saying? Now, I could send you somewhere where I think you might be able to find that same coat for less money.
Ooh, okay. I'm always into a deal.
You could have went to Verishop. Verishop is a new online shopping site with the fashionable brands you need for every moment of your life if you want to have an adequate drip. And the best part about it is for men and women.
Oh, I think I'm going to go on there.
It's for men, women, fashion, home decor, beauty, and wellness. Now listen.
Wow.
They get your purchases to you fast with a free one-day shipping and free returns with no membership fee and no minimum purchase required. So you can go buy a pair of socks if you want to. Just see how it works for you. Isn't that something?
I'm going to try that out.
That's right. I think you should. Verishop's expert retail team hand selects and sources every single item from more than 300 brands all over the world. So there's no chance of counterfeits or fake goods. Is that a real Calvin Klein jacket?
Absolutely.
Okay. I just wondered.
We're not going fake over here.
You can get fashion brands like Vince, Levi's. I wear Vince. I like Vince.
Mm-hmm.
Vince is nice. Yeah. Levi's.
Can't go wrong with Levi's.
And Deadwood. You can get home decor brands like Bowl and Branch, Staub and Smeg. These are difficult names to say, aren't they?
They are, but we love to decorate.
Yeah, man. I think, you know what I'm saying? You have to, you know, create your home decor as an extension of your personality.
And your style.
And your style, absolutely. They also have beauty and grooming brands like Blind Barber all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
With the premium shopping experience that we all deserve. Now, Verishop gives you the option to pay over time. Now, there's
that
no
comes
reason.
In clutch on the holidays.
You dig what I'm saying? There's no reason why you shouldn't be getting fresh, staying fresh, and looking your best. You dig what I'm saying?
All year round.
Speaking of the holidays, you know they'll be here before we know it.
Right.
And there's a new destination where I'll be finding all the gifts. I'm going to get your gift from Verishop.
Oh, I want it. I can't wait. I'm sending you all my sizes.
Yeah.
I need a whole outfit.
I'm going to get your gift.
Head to toe.
Shop Verishop for the fastest free shipping out there. And with my promo code, new Verishop customers can take 15% off of the first purchase to try it out. I guess you could use my promo code if you like.
What is it again?
My promo code is obviously TIP. But
nice.
In order to use it, you have to go to Verishop.com mm-hmm. and type in TIP. That's Verishop, Verishop.com with the code TIP for 15% off of your first purchase.
I'm going right now.
Exclusions apply.
Your Christmas present is coming.
You dig what I'm saying? Hey, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So, Tip and Single Dina signing off on behalf of Verishop.com. I know all the ladies want to know, man, why ain't Chris Tucker never got married?
That's a good question, man. That's a good question. But I still got time. I still got time. So
you believe in love?
Oh yeah, man. Because at this point, that's my next step for sure. So I still got time.
Okay, and you got one kid.
I got one son. Yeah,
one son.
Yeah.
21 years.
21.
Old.
Yeah.
You liked him so much that you didn't want to have no more.
You know what? I never, because I'm the youngest of six kids, so I thought I'd have a big family.
Right.
So I don't know how I just got one son, but you know, we'll see.
I
still got time for more.
You absolutely got time for more, man. Now, I think one thing that, because I speak to comedians all the time. I don't know why you guys, I get along with some of the greatest comedians in the world for some reason. You, Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart, Mike Epps, Cat Williams. Like, I really relate to you guys in a lot of ways. Do you feel that the cancel culture has affected comedy in an adverse way?
What's that, cancel?
The cancel culture. Like, if you say something today that people don't like and they say, Chris Tucker, you canceled. Mm-hmm. We ain't gonna come to no more of your shows. We ain't gonna watch no more of your movies. And but it's all in the sake. Whatever you said was in the sake of being funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that affects comedy or entertainment in any way?
Well, if you say it in a mean way, I think that's what gets you in trouble. But if you say it and you let people know, oh well, I was trying to be funny, and I'm you're really sincere about it, they might forgive you. But I think when you just flat out mean and you don't care, then sometimes, you know, that's what you're gonna get back.
Yeah.
So I think you got to be really, really smart and clever and just. In these days, you got, because I remember, man, you could say whatever you wanted to say, like you said, back in the early 90s, 98, you can say stuff, but you weren't a bad person, but that's just, you said.
You just
but
say
now,
stuff.
You don't want to offend nobody, so you got to be clever, you got to be smart. I think you got to be smart, not clever, because clever is like, really means a bad things, but you're trying to make people think it's not. Now, you got to be smart, you don't want to offend nobody, you want, especially you're a comedian.
And sincere.
Yeah, you ain't got to be sincere, man. I want everybody, you come to my show to laugh, have fun. I don't care what you know, I don't want to offend you. That ain't my thing. That's a comedy show.
Right.
And when Richard Pryor was like that, man, he came to show, you know, he would make everybody laugh.
That's right.
Black, white, yellow, green, and that's all he wanted, you know.
Man, we spoke a little bit about Spoon, man. Now, when you shot Friday the first time, man, can you share, like, you know, not even just Friday, just your relationship with Spoon? Can you share like a memory or story of Spoon that?
Yeah. Well, the first time I told Gary Gray, the director of Fridays, I said, man, I got to get a scene with John Witherspoon, Mr. Witherspoon, man.
Right.
Just one scene. He said, all right, we're right in there. So they wrote a scene that I came to the door, and then I wanted to use his bathroom. He wouldn't let me use it. And, man, we made something out of nothing. I mean, we didn't have no dialogue right there. All they told me, you got to use the bathroom. He ain't going to let you in. I didn't even know he was going to let me in or not. I just said, we're going to go at it. And when I found out that he was in the movie first place, when he came to the set, I went in there. I think I got a video out there that what's his name sent to me? DJ Pooh sent it to me. And I said, where you get this from, man? And it was like, we went in the trailer. He was in the makeup chair. I couldn't wait till he get out. I said, man, this is the legend. This is the funniest man in the world. And that's how I felt about him. I still feel about him to this day, man.
He was incredible.
He was incredible, man. I saw him at Magic's party in San Tropez not too long ago, man. Hugged him up, got pictures of him. So it's like, God is good, man. I was able to say bye to him. I didn't know I was saying bye to him, but hugged him up and he was getting ready. He said, I'm ready to go home. I'm tired. I said, no, stay out here, man. You're in San Tropez. We're going to have a party. Magic got another party tomorrow. Yeah, I was talking about Magic party like it was my party, man. We had a ball. I just saw him sitting in the corner just chilling. And when I was dancing, you know, doing Michael Jackson on the floor in San Tropez, some club.
Speaking of Michael Jackson, and you say you don't intend to offend anybody, and that shows in your ability to make fun of Michael Jackson on Def Comedy Jam, but then turn him into like a real true friend.
Yeah, man.
What was that process like? Mike was on your head for a minute, wasn't
man,
it?
Man, you know what? It's just, of course, you know, growing up, Michael Jackson was like untouchable. He was there. You're like, you can't meet him. You ain't gonna see him. You might get tickets to the concert. You might not if you come to Atlanta.
I seen him past me in a casino.
Yeah, you did.
He wasn't walking. He was floating there was a man holding him by this elbow, another man holding him by this elbow, and he was floating through the slot machines at the casino.
That's how he was, man.
I mean, very like whimsical. He was really like moving like a Spike Lee movie. Like, you know, you could tell he wasn't walking. He just floated right past. And I'm like, did Michael Jackson just float past us? But how did that relationship build, though?
Oh, you know what? I think of course, I was a fan of his.
Sure.
You know, because like everybody in the whole wide world. And I think he was introduced to me by maybe one of his little nephews or something.
Okay.
Said, watch this. He talking about you, uncle. And Michael probably said, oh, he's funny. He's funny. Oh, he's good. So he knew of me, I think, that way. I think one of his nephews told me that he showed Michael Fridays.
Right.
And in every movie, you might see me do a Michael Jackson movie or something. I think it's just Kendrick's spirit or something. But his energy,
you
man.
You do Michael Jackson almost better than Michael Jackson.
Man, it's something there, man. Because when I hear that song, when I hear that music, I'm dancing. When Michael's come on, any music, I'm dancing. So it was a blessing, man, to be able to be a fan and then grow up and to befriend him. Man, it was just a blessing. And like stuff like that, like I say, stuff that you can't plan, man.
Right.
Just God opened up doors, you know.
Man, you are, again, incredibly gifted as a comedian as well as an actor. Everybody's just sitting on the edge of their seats waiting to see what the next thing that Chris Tucker will do, whether it's a new special, a new tour, a new film, whether you could be directing something that you aren't even starring in. Chris Tucker did it. It must be funny. I'm going to it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I feel the same way about you. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much, bro. Thank you for taking the time to be here.
You know it.
You know what I mean? And we're also neighbors.
Yeah, we are.
Hey, man, do they stop you at the gate and keep you from coming in?
They stopped me one time talking about you. I said, that's my friend, man. Leave Tip alone. Man. Just let him in next time.
We stay in the same division, that's right. But you know, I caught him sleeping now.
I know you did, man. I know they was in the wrong.
Yeah, I caught him sleeping. I say, man, if Chris catch you out here like this, man.
Tip, you woke up everybody in the neighborhood, man. What's all that yelling? Y'all get out here now. Get up. No, it wasn't that. Thank you again for coming.
Appreciate you, man. With that, I'm going to move on to one of our dear traditions here. Hit expeditiously, we pick a word of the week, and it's usually dedicated to the conversation or to the guest. This word is fastidious.
Fastidious.
Fastidious. That means very attentive to and concerned about accuracy and detail, done with or showing thought and attention. Okay, so now that we've given...
Glad you told me what that meant.
Yeah, of course. So, but now that we've given the definition, I'm going to say it in a sentence so everybody out there can go and use it. You can go and use it in your stand-up and pretend like you knew what it was all along. You ain't got to give me no credit.
I know I ain't remember. You ain't
going to remember? But everybody, you can go to work,
fastidious.
Man. It's fastidious. You can go to work, man, and stand around the water cooler and pretend like you learned it in college or high school or on your GED test, wherever you got your education from. All right, so the sentence is, Chris Tucker's fastidious nature and conviction is what elevated him to being one of the greatest comedians of all times.
I'm going
to
remember that the way you
now
put
you
it.
Way you now. Put it. Man, thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
And again, this has been Expeditiously.
Yes, sir.
Right on.
I appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
God bless.
Thanks for listening to Expeditiously with me, T.I.P. Don't forget to subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Podcast One and rate and review, please.
Expeditiously is produced, engineered, and edited by KC Morris.
Hello, single Dina. Been so long.
Yeah, you know, I'm out here trying to find love in all the places.
You looking for love in all the wrong places, have you been?
I think so.
You think so? Well, that's why
I'm still single.
Well, listen, have you tried the online dating app, Ship?
Now, we have talked about this before.
We've talked about it, but have you tried it? You know,
that's
you,
true. This is
you
different.
And your friends, okay, mm-hmm. could swipe. And the Ship dating app can help you find love. So you create, let's call it, let's say like you did a group text.
Right.
Okay. So in this group text, you put these friends that you would like to go through all of these guys and swipe, like them or dislike them, and the best ones would come to you for your final approval. How does that sound?
I kind of like that because then it's your friends are helping you pick.
Right.
You know, and they kind of know what you like.
And then you won't have any accountability for how it goes.
Almost like an arranged situation. It's like best to meet people through your friends.
Well, I guess so. Maybe because, you know, your friends would go with what you need more than what you might want at the time. All you have to do is invite a group of friends to join your crew. You know what I mean? I think I'd be in Dina's crew.
You're going to be in my crew.
I mean, I think that the best part is if you're not single like me, you know what I'm saying, you can still join in to help your friends out. You don't need to make a profile or anything like that. You could just join your friend's crew and start swiping, okay? Finding a date is more fun when you do it with friends. So download Ship, the dating app that lets you swipe with friends. That's Ship, S-H-I-P. Search for Ship Dating in the App Store and start swiping today.
Let's go.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.